To this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Please stand if you're able and turn and face the back of the sanctuary. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Would you join us now in singing our processional hymn this morning? It's hymn number 427 in your hymnal. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 119. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your decree before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Make me understand the ways of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Continue with our Kyrie spoken this morning. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy in the 30th chapter. And in this text, the Lord sets before his people life and death, blessings and curses, and tells them, choose life. Yet right after this, the Lord sits with Moses in the tent of meeting and tells him exactly what the people will choose. They won't choose life. They'll choose death. They'll sin because of sin in their nature. And so as we hear this text, we're reminded that the Lord gives salvation to us by the work of Jesus on the cross and in the resurrection, and it's a free gift. We begin in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the children up now for our children's sermon. Hi, guys. How are you? I don't know where Victor is. Where is Victor? Sure, go tell him. Well, I guess we'll go. Hopefully they'll be here soon. We do have something really, really important that we just heard in our reading. Did you guys talk about that in Sunday school this morning? Deuteronomy 30? Yeah? Yeah. Really important. God was telling us that He's our God and that there's no other gods. Right? You agree? Yeah. I have something really cool with me today that I brought. Can you guys see what this is? What is it? What's inside the glass here? A rock. It is a rock. A rock. That's okay. We're talking about what's inside this glass. What is this? A rock, yes. And do you know where this rock comes from? It's a very special rock. All the time. There's rocks everywhere. This rock is very special because when my Aunt Sally went to Jerusalem, she asked me if I wanted her to bring anything back for me. And I told her, yeah, I want a rock. But I want a special rock. I want a rock from the road that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on his donkey. And so she brought me back a rock from that road. That's what this is. It's possible that Jesus's donkey might have stepped on this rock the day he rode into the city. Isn't that cool? You know what else? Is this rock, it's just a rock, right? It wouldn't make any sense. Well, it's a special rock, you're right. But still just a rock, even though it's special. It wouldn't make any sense to take this rock and put it up here and pray to it, would it? That'd be weird. Or to bow down and worship it. Oh, rock. That would be really weird, huh? Yeah, that would be what the Bible calls an idol. It'd be a created thing, something God made, that people are so silly that they worship. Does that make any sense? No. What does the first commandment say? You guys remember from Sunday school? Say it together. Say it. That's right. Have no other gods before me. That's what we want to remember all the time, okay? Because even silly things in our lives, we can start to serve and we can start to kind of worship and give our time and talent and our treasure to silly things. So we want to remember God's commandment, you should have no other gods before me. He's our God, right? And He loves us and He died for us and He gives us life forever and ever, right? Awesome. Yeah, that's very, very true. I want you guys to remember that today. Would you fold your hands with me and bow your heads and close your eyes and we'll have a prayer? Here we go. Repeat after me. Ready? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're our God and you love us and you forgive us and you lead us in your ways. Protect us from idolatry. And always remind us that we're your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats now. Thanks for coming up. Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Philemon, verses 1 through 21. The Apostle Paul writes, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a little while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your own, of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand as we sing our Alleluia verse and for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid up a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him and come against him with 20,000? And if not, well, the other is yet a great way off. He sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn this morning? It's hymn 783, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Let's sing. grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our lesson for our sermon today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 18th chapter, reading of that text. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who's in heaven. What do you think? If a man had 100 sheep and one of them had gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." This is the gospel of the Lord. Oh man, this text, I had to bring it from Matthew 18 because it has so much to give us. There's one common theme in what I just read that unites every single red letter there. And that theme is the theme of dependence. Dependence. Did you notice with the lost sheep in the reading, that lost sheep was dependent on the shepherd? And did you also notice that in verses 15 to 20 of that text, the brother or sister who sins against you is dependent on you to go to them, according to Jesus, to not be a scaredy cat, but to go to them and say how they've hurt you. Tell them their fault in love, that they might repent. They're dependent on you to do that. And once you've told them and you're vulnerable, and your relationship with that person is now dependent upon them saying what? "I'm sorry," if you tell them how they hurt you. And if they do, then the relationship is restored. But if they don't, now you're both dependent on the whole church in that matter. And even the little ones that Jesus talks about, and the little one that he sets, the child that he brings into their midst, dependent on their parents for everything they need. That's how it really works, friends. Everyone is dependent on everyone else. We're all interconnected. We all need each other. We're all dependent on God and one another. The farmer needs the baker's bread. He's got to eat or he can't work, but the baker needs the farmer's wheat or he can bake no bread. That's just the way of the world. Or as the scriptures would tell us, we're all members of one body in Christ. If one part suffers, then the whole body suffers with it. Matthew 18 is a really famous passage, and many people know it, because it outlines what we should do when there's discord or when the interconnected body has conflict within itself. When someone sins against us or hurts us or causes us pain. I guess we could almost say that this is Jesus' relationship advice. But it's way more than advice. See, because when he says go to that person, that word go is in the imperative, which means it's a command. And if you didn't hear it in the text when I read it, when Jesus gives a command, God is giving a command. It's no different than the Ten Commandments. God has spoken a command to us that if anyone is to hurt us or sin against us, that we should go to that person. Tell them what they've done. Speak the truth in love. But it's hard. It is so hard for us to do. If someone said something or didn't say something, if someone did something to you or didn't do something that you thought they should, the hardest place for us to go is where? To the person that hurt us. The easy place for us to go is to everyone else, to start to triangulate and get people on our team. Because once we've got somebody on our team, then we feel a little better. That's not what the commandment says. Go. And the normal way of sort of breaking this commandment is we say, you know, it's not worth it. I would say within churches and relationships within churches that is an epidemic. It's an epidemic. It sweeps across those of the household of faith. Somebody hurts us. And it's true in families, too. It's not just in churches. It's epidemic. If somebody hurts you, and I think this is a good guide for us in this, that if you're offended or hurt bad enough that you're going to go tell somebody, make sure you tell the person who offended you, not somebody else. I think that's a good guide for us to work through these kinds of things. It is a big deal. In fact, if you'll humor me a little bit, want to admonish just a little here and say it this way. It's the way my professor told me something when I was in homiletics in the seminary that I never forgot about preaching. So I want to take his model and sort of give it to you in this reality. We shouldn't ever, no, not ever, no, not once, get offended or hurt by a brother and sister in Christ and not go tell them. We shouldn't ever, no, not ever, no, not once, get hurt by a brother or sister in Christ and not go tell them. If somebody hurt you, if you're feeling hurt, I pray you're not. I pray you're kind of looking at me like, Pastor, why are you all over this right now? I hope that's where you're at. But if you're not there, we should never not go tell them. Offense within the body of Christ is like concrete. When it first happens, when the concrete's still wet, it's really not that hard to move. You can move it with a shovel. But if you wait with the offense, if you let it harden and refuse to obey the commandment of your Lord, it will get so hard and so heavy that it will take big time equipment to move it out of the way. Listen to Jesus I need to too. We all need to, all the time, keep this in mind. Or our issue will set up like concrete and we'll never get it out of the way in the relationship. We run into it all the time as Christians, this epidemic of saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And then going home and stewing on it and hurting and telling others, but never the person Jesus tells us to tell. And it doesn't just save them or hurt them, it hurts us. The common theme of all these verses is this dependence that we have on one another. We are interdependent. We are members of one body. And if we don't listen to Jesus, it's going to cause problems. Did you hear what he said about the little children? He said that if someone causes them to sin, and this is pretty harsh language from the Lord, it'd be better if a millstone was tied around that person's neck and they've been thrown into the sea. When it comes to the fellowship of believers, some of us are still young in our faith. We're still like the little ones. And if we let something that happened to us fester, and tell me you don't see this in the church, we let it fester, and we don't go and tell the person who hurt us, and then pretty soon it blows up, and those young in their faith, they say, forget about this. We have a whole world full of people that have looked at the church and said, forget about this. We don't want to offend or hurt these little ones. And this is true inside of the Christian family too, inside of every family. This breakdown or epidemic of no communication. You get your feelings hurt, you don't say anything. And it just builds and builds and builds. And pretty soon, it's tearing families apart. And the interdependence that's so beautiful, that God can use in so many amazing ways, the devil uses to destroy and tear us apart. In the original language, that imperative that I talked about earlier, the word go, when Jesus says, if anybody sins against you, go to them, that word in the Greek is upago. And upago has a very special meaning. It's the word for putting a yoke on, to bear a yoke. Like a horse would go, right, with a carriage behind it, with a yoke on it. Or an oxen would go yoked to do its work. Jesus understands that it's a burden for you and me to do what he commands us to do. He knows that it's a cross to pick up, to bear, to actually hear his word, to hear his command and do it. And not just be a hearer of the word only, but also a doer of the word, as the book of James tells us. He knows it's a burden. But it's a burden that we have to bear because we're all interconnected. It's one body. We can easily hurt one another just by not letting Jesus' word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path and lead us in what we need to do. I'm not saying this as your pastor this morning because there's a big problem going on and now there's a chance for us to go, oh, what's happening at Trinity? Is there an issue? No, there isn't. This is just good stuff, important stuff, because this stuff fortifies us. It's kind of like taking your vitamins in the morning, right? You're not taking them because you're sick. You're taking them to fortify against what the devil's going to try to do to us, what's coming. Always for the church is these attacks. These things are fortifying realities to protect us from being torn apart. If we don't go to the person who hurt us and do what Jesus says, do we realize that we're actually keeping them from forgiveness? That we're actually stopping them from being able to repent and say they're sorry? I mean, how many times Have we accidentally offended someone, or you have accidentally done it, and you never knew? Because no one would tell you. That's not the way of the body of Christ. If the eye can't say to the foot, I have no need of you, right? The hand can't say to the foot. The eye doesn't say to the ear, you have no purpose. Because everything's connected all the time. We're always interconnected. And one hurt or pain can cause 10,000 problems. Another thing is, have you ever heard of what's called the shame cycle? The shame cycle goes like this. At the top, it's sin. And then it goes down a circle, and sin leads to guilt. And then guilt leads down here to shame. And then shame leads back up to guilt, which leads back up to sin, which leads back up to shame, which leads back around and around and around. It's called the shame cycle, and it just keeps going. And when we sin and we feel guilty, that's one thing, but there's a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt focuses on the action, what you did or didn't do, what you said or didn't say, what somebody else did or didn't do. Shame is different. Shame focuses on the person. Shame brings an identity with it. And it's a dangerous, dangerous cycle to be in. And if our brother or sister has done something to us or hurt us or offended us in any way, would we leave them in that cycle of shame? Would we let that sin turn to guilt and that guilt turn to shame and leave them locked in to something that bad? Jesus knows what he's talking about here. And he told it to us very plainly. If somebody sins against you, go to that person and tell them their fault between you and them alone. And if they repent, we forgive them. As scripture tells us, we have to forgive them like our Heavenly Father forgives us. Always forgiving. I mean, what would we rather be? Uncomfortable for a few moments with this yoke on us? Going? Or leave our brother or sister without the opportunity to say they're sorry and put them in a position of shame? We always, always have to remember. We speak the truth in love. It's Ephesians chapter 4. If we do this, we go in love and kindness and grace and mercy. And if somebody else does sin against us and hurt us, I don't necessarily think we should be shocked and bewildered by that, you know, to the point that we're going to go tell everybody else about that sin. Because we too sin and fall short of the glory of God. And in some sense, we have that in common among all of us, that none is righteous, no, not one. And people sin and make mistakes. And so there's something there that we can have empathy and understanding for those folks. Because we all sin. And if we do listen to Jesus, take up our cross and follow him, take his yoke upon us and learn from him, for he's gentle and he's lowly in heart. And if we do tell someone who hurt us that they did, then we must forgive them. See, how does God break this cycle of sin, guilt, shame? By his cross. If you hear what Isaiah tells us about our Lord, he says that he bore our shame, our guilt too, but also the identity of the guilty one who can do nothing pleasing to God. He bore our shame. God doesn't come this morning to shame us. He doesn't come and tell us a false identity. He tells us the truth about who we are. And there's a piece of our sanctuary this morning that's telling us that too. It's the font right down in front of the altar. That's telling us who we are. We're chosen children of God, not to be shamed, but to be loved, to be forgiven always by our good Heavenly Father. See, when you go to somebody that's hurt you and you tell them, hey, you hurt me. What you're doing is you're making it about the deed. You're making it about the thing that they hurt you, or how they hurt you, about the action, right? And so yes, there's contrition and there's guilt, and the person hopefully will say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. But if you don't go to them, you make it about the shame. You shame them. And it's like, oh, you're not even worth telling. You see the problem with this? You see the wisdom that Jesus is giving us to hold us close together, to fortify us against sin, death, and the devil in our lives and in our families and in our churches. It's amazing. He really loves us. And he's given us this really important lesson. Because when God comes to us this morning, he promises, you heard it at the end of the reading from Matthew, where two or three are gathered, I'm right there, right? When he comes to us this morning, it's not to walk away from you. He doesn't turn his face away and shame you. No, instead you hear it in the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. He doesn't shame us at all. He comes to forgive us. Right? The devil's the one that condemns. He's the accuser. He's the one that brings shame, not our Lord. Jesus bore that shame, my shame and yours, on the cross to give us the true identity of who we really are in our baptism. God's beloved children, who he will never shame or put to shame, but forgives us. He's not going to let sin and death in the door here. And he's not going to let this beautiful group of people be destroyed by silly little infractions. He's going to protect us, and he's done it this morning again, to make sure that we stay strong in Christ, that we hear his word and we do it. I pray this morning that as we come up and receive the Lord's gifts, those flow from his cross, his own body and his own blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins, that today he'll give you the strength if you need to go and tell somebody that they sinned against you. That he'll give you, even if it's Pastor Jason, and Pastor Jason doesn't know about it, no matter who it is, that he'll give you the strength to do it, to obey his commandment and hear his word through the power of his Spirit. Remember how God has treated us. Nothing but grace, nothing but love, nothing but forgiveness. And for that, we owe him everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come to the time in our service where we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life.
Please be seated. We come now to the time of the prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you have granted us great privilege and mercy that we should be called your own people, who you love, who you work for, who you're devoted to. Work in us by your Spirit, that we may love what is good and obey your commands cheerfully. Keep us from an easy faith that costs us nothing, and preserve us that we may be salt in the earth and light in the darkness for a world that doesn't know you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O Lord, bless this congregation and all congregations of our synod. Matthew, our synod president, James, our district president, and all your servants in the church, that they would be strengthened to cherish each member of Christ's body as dearly beloved brothers and sisters. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you are our life and length of days. And you set before us your gift of life in your holy word for us and for our children. Preserve your institution of marriage and family. Guard husbands, wives, parents, and children both from despising or idolizing things or one another. Instead, let every relationship in the home exemplify your unconditional love for us in Christ. And grant that we might hear your word and follow you in our relationships within the church, in our relationships with families, in all of our relationships, Lord. Bless us with your strength to hear your commands and do them. Lord, in your mercy. Give aid, O Lord, to all the elected and appointed public officials, especially our president, the Congress of these United States, our governor and legislature of this state, and all who serve us in your name. Grant peace to the nations, Lord, and prosper and benefit all the people in the cause of justice. Lord, in your mercy. God, our King, you promise blessing to those who follow in your way, yet you also call them to carry their crosses. Grant your peace to those who suffer among us and those who are in the prayers of our church for whatever the need. We name before you this morning Gary and Joette Iser, Carly Moore, the Rocky Mountain District of our church, Lauren Belfer, Katie Philly, Dalton Cody, Izzy Wieskamp, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Jairus Yutzi, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howey, Jeff Autopolik, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinberger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all of those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Guide them by your word, O Lord, to follow your way through any pain in this world to the glories of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious God, grant that all who come to the Lord's Supper this day may in faith receive your Son's body and blood, and with it forgiveness of sins, the desire to amend our sinful lives, and the strength to confess the true faith in all that we say and do. Lord, in your mercy, join these our prayers and praises, Lord, with those of your faithful servants of every time and place, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes again in power and glory as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now we come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy instrumental music from our organist.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa.